Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Megan, you're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. All right, let's get into it.
All right. Hi, guys. Wait, sorry, before we get into it, do you want to be introduced as Dom Gabriel? Like, what is your preferred name?
You can call me whatever you want. Dom.
Okay.
Gabriel. Probably Dom Gabriel.
Gabriel, whatever you want.
Call me Carlos.
Okay. Hi, guys. It's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke With Therapy. And I have the baddest and the saddest Dom Gabriel.
The baddest and the saddest is crazy.
I'm sorry.
I love it though. No, okay. I love it. Okay, I'm surprised I haven't gotten that before.
I'm surprised too. That should be in your bio. That's baddest and the saddest.
Baddest and the saddest.
I feel like that is your brand.
Yeah. Ooh.
Make that into merch.
Clip that.
Yeah.
Clip that.
If you guys are not familiar with him, you should be, because he is on Netflix, The Perfect Match and The Mole. Personally, I didn't watch The Mole.
That's fine.
But I heard great things about it. My boyfriend loves you on the show. He said that you got screwed over by a white man. Sorry.
I'm not gonna go as far as to say that.
I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. That was okay. We're
It was a group decision.
It was a group decision.
And it was a diverse group. Okay. I decided to screw me over.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like causing unnecessary drama. He didn't say that, you guys. That was no.
Shout out Brian, man. No, it's funny because when people are like, "Oh, I didn't watch your show," and I'm like, and they're like, "I'm sorry, I didn't watch it." I'm like, "No, no, it's cool. Like, I'm not part of the marketing team. It's not."
Yeah, you're like, it's
that's
fine.
That's not on me.
I mean, I saw it everywhere, but for me, I think like I have ADHD, right. So it takes a minute to like catch my attention. But The Perfect Match caught my attention because I love dating and all that stuff. So I like, obviously, I honestly didn't even watch like Love Is Blind. So I didn't even know who anyone was, but I was like, ooh, let me just like watch this. And it was so dramatic. It was good.
Just absolute chaos.
It was
the
fucking
show. The purpose of the show was just chaos.
Yeah. The star of the show. Can I just say?
No.
Yeah. Well, you won. Spoiler alert.
I was just there for a long time. So yeah.
You made it through.
Yeah. Yeah. I just survived. I was on the star. I just survived.
Literally. I think you had like the most trauma and like, but the best edit. I don't know. What do you, would you say so? Was that like,
I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel like it was like an accurate portrayal.
Yeah.
I want to talk to the producers and be like, they must have been like, because I was like, I didn't drive any of the drama, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, there were literally moments where, well, I'm going to burp.
It's okay. Burp on the mic because we like the difference.
We like those?
Yeah, we like those. Those are okay here.
But there were moments where I'm like, there's so much drama going on. Mm-hmm. And like, some people get drunk and they get angry.
Yes.
Or they get sad. They get emotional. I got drunk most of the time, and I immediately go find snacks. Like, so there'd be drama going on, and like they'd be like, "Where's Dom? Where's Dom? This is about Dom." And like I'm in a corner, just wine, fucking Oreos, cereal, bowls all around me. Everyone's like, "Dom, get in the freaking!" And I'm like, "Oh, true. What's up? What's going on? Oh, me?"
They're probably like, meanwhile, two like beautiful women. Fighting for your love and your attention, and you're over here feeding yourself with Oreos is like, I love that.
Yeah, they were probably like, how did this guy get here? This guy
like,
is
who, like, this guy?
Who is this guy? So
yeah, and then yeah. I mean, you had your heart broken a few times. Well, one huge time that made you cry.
Yes.
So, and then that just right there, I think probably changed your life.
Yeah.
You know, just
who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Oh, look at us.
So, I mean, what were your thoughts in that moment when you're crying, I mean, on the show, like, and all the cameras are in your fucking face? Like, I can't even imagine.
It's such a crazy thing because in the moment, I feel as though, the cameras weren't even really there. Because, like, when you do those that type of shows, because the cameras are only 24/7, the camera people almost become like family almost. Like you wake up, you see them, you go to sleep, you see them, wake up in the morning, like, how you going? You want some cereal, Steve?
Yeah.
Josie, you want some cereal? It's like, it's like you all just become family. So it was like in that moment, I remember I was like tearing up or whatever. And the camera guy like looked at me and he was like, I'm not gonna say his name, I don't want to get in trouble if this is gonna get in trouble or whatever. But I remember he was
nice.
Yeah, I remember he like lowered the camera. Like obviously they got like the best chunk that they could, but there was like a longer period. I remember there were moments where he would like lower the camera and be like, yo, just take a moment, bro. You know what I mean? Like, like looking out for me and stuff like that. So it almost felt as if like I wasn't doing it in front of the whole world, which is why I think it felt so like raw, because it was like the people that were surrounding me, like the camera people, side, like they actually cared because we're together all the time. So
yeah,
it kind of felt like, you know, I was just like with.
I mean, that's good to hear, because I always feel like, you know, people like their mental health gets, you know, like they're battling with like the producers. It always seems like the producers are like the enemies on the show, but it's good to know that they at least like empathize with you when you were crying and stuff like that and weren't like evil.
Yeah, I mean, like there were like, even I remember there was this one producer, I'm not gonna say names,
yeah,
but like they did genuinely care. And she was even like, there'd be moments, not necessarily that moment, but there'd be other moments or whatever where she'd be like, hey, like, give me a hug. And then like,
yeah,
you hug and she'd be like, no, other way, heart to heart, that's how you feel the connect. And like, and now I hug heart to heart because she taught me that. And like, there were good people around.
Yeah. So, it's just their job.
Yeah, it's just their job. That's their job, to make a good TV show at the end
exactly.
of the day.
Yeah. So what was it like watching that back? Like, especially like a year later when it's like, you know.
It's weird because, you know, you kind of forget. Immediately after the show, you go through like this like deep, deep lull of like, you know, PTSD, where you're like, you wake up and you're like, oh, no cameras. Like, we're good, we're safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of go through this weird period, and then afterwards it kind of feels like a fever dream.
Oh,
and
shit.
It didn't really happen, and you deal with all the drama, and everybody's like, just group chats, everyone's vibing, everyone's good, and the show comes out, and then obviously, like, there's things you don't see that people are saying in professionals, there's, you know, scenes between people that you didn't see, stuff like that that you didn't see when you were filming, so then emotions arise, and it kind of feels like you're reliving the experience, but in a whole different, like, out-of-body way.
Right. So. You're like, because what I realized was, like, and I think it's just like so meta and so like modern, because this wasn't like reality TV back in the day with no social media, but it's like, it becomes like this separate reality TV after the show is out. And we see all of you guys just like talking about what happened, revealing situations. And it's just like, oh, the tea begins. It's like, it doesn't just stop at the finale. It continues.
That was the thing I didn't like take it to account when I started. I was like, oh, it doesn't end when the filming ends. Like, it keeps, like, it's still going. Like, there's still moments where, you know, I'll be somewhere and someone, you know, I date on the show will be somewhere too at the same time. And then, you know, you check Twitter or Reddit to be like, Dom was with this person and this person was with
People
this person.
Started, like,
are they hanging out again? And it's like, all right, everybody, like,
relax.
Detectives. think we're good here.
So how did you, because, you know, as like, you know, as a man, you know, you're not told, especially as a black man, you know, because my boyfriend relates in a lot of ways where it's like you're told to like keep your emotions like inside and not be that emotional. But I feel like social media, especially for those reality stars, are like fucking awful. So how did you handle like your mental health and everything?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. We burp here and we allow it and just keep going. Let's have a battle. Who burps louder?
I'm so sorry. No, like, you're burping, I'm burping. Like,
they're used to it. At this point, they've heard me fart somewhere along like the episode. So it's fine. Like we're used to it here. We're all about the gases.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Sorry.
No, you're good. So how did you handle just like, did you get scrutiny afterwards? Like, how was your mental health, like, when the show did come out and people were, like, making assumptions about you?
You know, it's weird because I went through this cycle of therapy real quick. So, like, you know, when COVID was happening, I was with my ex and we were both going through a lot. So she introduced me to therapy. And I started going to therapy and I started feeling good about myself. And then we broke up and it was like, okay, I felt low again, went to therapy, built myself back up. And then I got cast on The Mole, didn't win, and found myself continuing doing therapy. And once I got to the show, I felt I was at a place where I was comfortable with myself, which, you know, in regular standards. And then now I'm going on a TV show, so it's like
another
layer of, like, you know, something that, like, you can't account for when you go to therapy. You know, you can't prepare yourself to, like, be in front of millions of people and camera crews and the amount of anxiety that that also brings. So I think how I dealt with it a lot was I had to remember that, like, especially when I was filming, like, there'd be moments where, like, I just wouldn't talk to anybody. Like, I would just be like, all right, just go by the pool, sit down in this corner and give yourself, like, an hour and just don't say anything.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, not every moment during the day doesn't have to be a bit or a story a lot. It's like, just
take, separate,
you know,
yourself,
you just separate yourself and remember that, like, there's more to this, like, because it's so easy to be in those environments and just be like, this is everything. And I caught myself thinking, like, this is everything. You know what I mean? Nothing else matters outside of this house.
And that's dangerous.
You know, so there had to be times where I had to just disassociate and take time for me and realize, okay, it's okay. And after the show as well, you know, like I was telling you beforehand, like, I didn't do a lot of podcasts after the show because I was like, I just need to disassociate from everything that's going on for myself. You know what I mean? So I just kind of focused on myself, even with, you know, people making fun of me. I was like, the only way that you can kind of do that, like, have you watched, like, 8 Mile?
Yes, of course.
You know, like, the final battle when he has to go first, so he just makes fun of himself?
Yeah.
The whole time, and the guy can't say anything? I've always remembered that since I watched that movie. So I always will poke fun at myself before anyone else gets a chance to do it. Like, I'm always going to own my vulnerabilities, my weaknesses, my faults. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to take accountability, because the moment that I go online and I go, yeah, I cried, blah, 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 make fun of myself, make a TikTok about it, then everyone is like, okay.
You're right.
You took the fun out of it.
No, you did a great job. I mean, like, going back to, like, your TikToks, like, you, like, best content creator from the cast on the show, because like you were so funny about, like, dancing in the rain to, like, Usher, you know, like, it was like really just owning, like, and again, taking your power back, making it into a brand. Like, that's, I mean, I think that's, you did it the correct way. You're just like, yeah, fuck yeah. I fucking cry. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what I learned in therapy is taking accountability for, like, owning your faults, owning who you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you make a mistake, it's like, don't deflect, like, own it.
Yeah.
That mistake happened. It's in the past now. Move on. How do you go from here? You know what I mean? It's like, it happened. It's on TV. It happened. I can't take that back. So how do I proceed? Because I can't control how everybody else reacts. I've always been told that. You can't control how everyone reacts to what you do, but you can control how you react.
Exactly.
And how you are going to dictate the situation. So I was like, all right, what's the situation? This. I'm not going to get involved in drama. I'm not going to say anybody's name. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to make fun of myself the whole time.
And you did a great. Yeah. That's no, it. That's so true. Because, you didn't go on like a million podcasts or anything like that. Like some of the other ones. And just, you just made, like, really funny TikToks.
Yeah.
And, like, that were viral. And, like, just that was their thing.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to mind. I got, because this, again, it's like, you have to remember that. Like, I had to remember and remind myself, like, this isn't everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Love is Blind season 86 is going to come out. Yeah. And people are going to forget that I even exist.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, just have fun with it and, you know, take care of yourself and keep it pushing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Hopefully that answered your question.
No. I think that was perfect advice. Even if for someone who's, like, not on reality TV, like, someone who's getting made fun of or someone who's insecure about something, you know, it's just to, like, embrace it and make fun of it, you know, like, so I think that was great advice. Yeah.
I mean, that's even what I did when I was younger, when I was getting bullied for, like, painting my nails. And I was always, like, a little emo skater kid.
Yeah.
It was like, I would get bullied for it, but it's like, I can either change myself, or it's like, I'm getting bullied anyway, so I might as well just keep doing it and lean into it.
Right. Yeah. Like, might as well make fun of myself before they get to it.
Exactly. You know, so.
I think I do that too, as, like, a coping mechanism. It's like, I just laugh at, like, my pain.
Yeah. I do it all the time.
Just laugh at the trauma. Just keep it pushing, you know. But also, like, have a moment, again, to sit with yourself and be like, none of this is serious. And, like, allow yourself to feel it. And then, you know, and then laugh about yourself, and it's fine.
Allow yourself to feel it, I think, is really important. Like, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be happy, depressed. It's like, but just you have to let yourself feel it. You can't deflect from it. You have to just own it, feel it, and then that's how you move on. Perfect. Truly.
Period. Poo.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Look at the morals.
Yeah, look at the morals. Look at the growth.
Look at the growth. Look at the wholesomeness. Look yes. at the advice.
It's the most wholesome episode I've done ever. But let's dive into we're done with the perfect match. You lived on. This is your life. I mean, like, even before the show and after, like, what is, like, are you someone who likes to get into relationships? Like, what does your love life look like before and, I mean, even now?
Yeah, I've always been a long-term relationship guy. Like, I've always been
Serial monogamous.
Yeah, like, once I find somebody and I like, it's like I put 110% into that. Mm-hmm. Like, and even my best friend knows, like, it's like, man, like, you've always been with somebody, like, through high school. Like, I had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. University, I had like 6 months meet somebody, girlfriend for like 4 or 5 mm-hmm. years, single for a year, met somebody, in an relationship for like 3-4 years. Like,
yeah.
So, and then it was like, and then when I took the time after my last relationship to like be single, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be single. And my friend's like, good, be single, find yourself. And then I end up on a dating show and he's like, what? That's not what I meant. So it's kind of like, I just went from like two extremes of being like a serial, monogamous, like long-term relationship to being like, I'm going to date around
on national,
on the biggest streaming service ever. And it's like, Dom, what are you doing?
No, I mean, that's great. I mean, why do you think that, like, you are, like, a serial monogamist? Like, where do you think that stems from? If you want to get deep. If you don't want to, like,
yeah,
talk
if you want to
like,
get into it.
Like,
I think,
child trauma or anything. Like, because I'm all about talking about everything. So.
I've talked about this with, like, a lot of, you know, my followers and people that have known me for a long time. I've mentioned this and I, like, laugh at it. But I think, and I talk about this in therapy, too, as well. So I'm open talking about it. I think it just stems from, like, my inner child, truly. You know what I mean? I think, at least when I was younger, was... Because I never had that example of a relationship growing up. Like, I had a single parent home. My mom, my dad was in and out of my life. He left when I was 2, came back when I was 10. I essentially told him to, what happened was he told me, like, he was going to pick me up from school. He never showed up. And he came back to apologize that night, but I saw my mom crying. I pretty much just said, you know, I don't want to see you ever again. Mm. I'm going to take care of mom. I'm going to take care
How
of
How old were you?
I was like 10 years old, like grade 5.
I'm going to cry. That's so sad. So because
it continues. Yeah, no, and... And I think from that point on, it just kind of like triggered this thing in my brain of like I never want to be that man. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I always want to be that person that like you can count on, that's going to be reliable. Like if I give you my word, if I love you, if I tell you I love you, if I tell you I'm going to be there for you, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
So it's like I think with every relationship, it's like I always strive to be that relationship that I never saw growing up, you know what I mean? To be that man that I never had, that I never looked up to, you know what I mean? Essentially the opposite of my dad, who I always viewed. And like, now that I'm older, I've grown, I've realized like he was just a kid. Like my mom and my dad had me really young. He was a kid and he was scared. He was younger than I am when he had me, you know? And so I forgive him. He wasn't a bad person. He was just...
He didn't know.
It's he made
crazy.
A mistake.
Yeah, it's scared. Crazy when you realize that like our parents are... people and they have gone through their own set of traumas and they're just doing the best they can even though they don't even know what the fuck is the best.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, and it's like I recognize that, but on the opposite end it made me realize like, damn, my mom is really like a superwoman. Like she is a superhero for real. Like she took on both roles and took care of everything, and he was scared and she was not.
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think like because I'd wanted to be so opposite of that and the extreme of that and taking the extreme of how loyal and dependable my mom is, I just took that on my own shoulders. So it's every relationship I get into, I'm like I'm going to make this work. Even if I somewhere deep down in me, I know it's not, Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do I make this work? Change who I am. I've changed my entire career around. Like I was going to move to New York with my last girlfriend and just drop everything. you know what I mean? Like just to make that person happy and see them shine and know like, and be there for them. So I think that's where it stems from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting deep.
And how did, no, we love that. We love deep in many ways. But so, you know, like with your like past relationships, like how did they like receive that love?
I think I've said this before. I feel like I'm like I have my own like niche quotes at this point, but I don't believe like not everyone's going to be the one is what I've learned. Everyone's going to be the one, but everyone makes you a better person for the one. So it's like, you know, my first relationship, how they received that was I was too extreme and I was also insecure in myself and who I was. And it was my first long-term relationship, it was a very like up and down. We were on and off. We were both toxic. And you know, when you're very young.
Yeah. You don't know what to do with your emotions.
So you don't know what to do with your emotions. You don't know what to do with that love. When you just love someone so deeply for the first time and there's jealousy and there's everything is like just
amped.
Just amped up to 10. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it can get sort of like toxic and very like, you just don't know. So, but I learned from that. Took time and I got in my next relationship and, you know, my last long-term relationship is where I really took what I learned from the first one, applied it to that one. Mm. And that's when I was like, okay, there's a way to do this and to be loyal to, and I found who I am in that relationship. And she was also in the same place as me and we grew together. So I think like, it was like an evolution of how people received that.
Mm. Your love.
My love, you know, my love kind of evolved and matured over time. And my last relationship, I think, really helped me because my first relationship, when it ended, it was very bitter. It was very miserable. It was very angry. Mm-hmm. My last relationship was very loving. It was very respectful. We understood that time just expired. It was like, you know, we just have different paths. Mm-hmm. And it was a very healthy breakup. It was, okay, this isn't working right now. Okay, cool. And we separated. Mm-hmm. We still have love for each other. And I was like, wow, like that was very... I'm a completely different person than my last relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like now everything I learned from her is like I can apply it to the next one. So I feel like love isn't like linear. It's like it's always growing and changing with every person that you're with and how you give them your love, how you receive their love and how you apply that to your life and your next relationship and your friendships. I think everything just like helps you grow. I don't know.
Think it's like even like... Like it helps you grow, like not just for like the next person, but for yourself. Like mm-hmm. you learn a lot, like when you date, you know, when you date around and you are in relationships, like there's things that trigger you, like jealousy and insecurities and stuff like that. That's based off of like your childhood, you know, it's based off of like your experiences. So it like makes you reflect who you are and like, and it's healing. And that's why I always say like to people, like date around, like put yourself out there because it's like the most therapeutic thing you could do for yourself because you learn about yourself and your triggers like through like those experiences and the relationships. So that's exactly like what you're doing. And I think that's great.
I think it's also a mixture of like dating and also like going to therapy, you know? Cause it's like being able to like take what you learn from those dates, talking to somebody who can kind of like translate that in, you know, therapeutic and simpler terms for you and understand why you feel that way. And then taking that from the therapy session and then applying that to real life. So I think that's what helped me at least when I started dating around. And especially after the show, it was like going to therapy and talking like, why did this happen? How did this happen? How do I separate the two? It was like going to therapy really helped me assess that and adjust.
Right, right. And so like... Because, you know, you're a crier and you're sensitive and you love hard. Like, I'm sure, like, a lot of women are probably like, hey, Dom, what's up? Like, how's your dating life, like, after the perfect match?
It's different. It's weird because it's like I've also only been in L.A. mostly.
Right, since then.
Since then. And
dating in L.A.,
day in LA, you know, everybody's kind of like, everybody's kind of in the industry. Everybody's a creator of some sort. So it's kind of like, you know,
everybody.
I've gone on dates where like, you know, they've turned into just like content or, you know, you don't know.
Damn, really?
Yeah, and like you don't know, you kind of just like don't know like who's
here for the right reasons.
Yeah, who's here for the right reasons. Yeah. Is this going to work, and does everything have to be content, or does anyone not know who I am or not have a preconceived notion of me, you know what I mean? So I think it's hard dating in that way. So I kind of took a long time just to focus on myself. Like I would go out and not even like, no one would even catch my eye.
You know?
I remember I went to Coachella and I was having fun and then someone catches my eye and it was like, no, shoot, they're Australian. Like, damn. Like,
oh, they live all far. You know what I mean?
It was like trigger warning. And then, but then it was like, so I took time. I think now I've finally gotten to a point where like I've worked on myself after the show and I've got enough done where recently I've been more so open to dating and I've kind of realized like, you know, you can't change if people have seen the show, not seen the show.
Exactly.
Like people it happened. Like I said before, how are you going to move on from it? Like you can't be afraid.
Yeah.
You
know and people will reveal themselves if they're like trying to get to know you for the right or wrong reasons, like, or if they're generally there for you. Like, I feel like you're an empathetic person. So I would assume like you could feel the energy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. And people are like pretty, I think people are pretty hip to what would kind of get me because I'm so open online. So I'm always like, I don't get like insane DMs, you know?
Interesting, yeah.
I don't get like come over and, turn me around and
right.
flip me off the ceiling and shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get anything like that. It's like very like kind words and very like funny, weird mess. And that's the stuff that gets me. And I'm always like, how they know that SpongeBob meme was gonna work on me?
It's
because they watch, they watch and they know, so
they could tell.
Yeah, it's funny that way where I'm like,
But you also seem like a guy that wouldn't want like, I mean, I don't know, guys are guys, but at the same time, like you just seem like a very down to earth person that like, I don't know, like, there's like certain guys are like, oh, they're probably more sexual and they probably would want that more. You seem like someone who like want a relationship more. So that's why, I don't know. I'm assuming.
Yeah. I think,
I don't know.
I kind of have, I've been told I have the appearance of like,
appearance of a fuckboy, 1000%.
Yeah. I also have like a slut tattoo.
Slut tattoo?
Pardon?
Your slut tattoo?
I have like the word slut tattoo.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. I got drunk. Oh my God.
What inspired that? You got drunk? Okay.
Yeah, I got drunk. I was on a first date with a girl. It was a whole, it was a whole thing.
Oh my God. Whose idea was it?
It was mine. I make poor decisions when I'm drunk.
It's okay. We all have.
That's like my alter ego when I'm drunk. I'm just like, it's like the lover boy comes out when I'm drunk. It's like, I'm down to make out with everyone. I make poor decisions if there's tattoo guns around.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I'll jump off of stuff. I'll hop in shopping carts. I'm like.
Oh my God, you're so edgy. Yeah, no, I love being like a make out slut before. Like when I would get drunk and go out to clubs. Like that was like a thing. But now I'm like. Well, I have a relationship, so I can't do that.
Because of like when I get into a relationship, I'm like, I can't. They're like, why don't you just go out, go with your friends? I'm like, babe, I can't.
Really? You don't like to when you're in a relationship?
No, because
you're
I'm like
loyal.
Yeah, like I don't like to like go. Like if I know that there's potential of like me getting drunk and make, I'm like when I was younger, not now. Yeah, I have more self control.
But like, I feel like the early 20s is like everyone just made out at bars.
Yeah, it was like I was just like. Few tequila shots. It's like,
yes,
consensually, of course.
Consensually.
It's like, who wants to make out?
Yeah.
I'm here. Doesn't matter.
Like I used to, have you ever heard of the Bar Cha-Cha Lounge?
No.
I used to like, when I was 21, I used to go there all the time and made out with so many guys behind the, behind the Cha-Cha Lounge in the dumpsters.
Yeah.
Cause it was like hidden. But anyways, that's just my slut story.
No, I remember in like, I was very young. I was like, I was like 18, like night, like first year of university.
Mm.
Like literally, like I would go, me and my friends would go to bars and like, it would be like, it wouldn't even be like how many hookups you, like it wasn't even about that. It was like how many makeouts. It was like, remember the first week of university, we were like, how many makeouts can we rack? It wasn't even like, we weren't like sleeping with anybody.
Right.
We were like, help me make
but
up.
Those are
like,
actually kind of fun. I mean, look at the thing, but I still had fun. It's just gross fun. As it is, but at least
it was fun. It was gross. I got mono, like aggressive
say, like,
mono. Like I was out of commission for like a solid 3 weeks.
Sounds like mono, yeah.
But I remember like we would make out and then like we would like take pictures with the girls afterwards. It was like,
what?
I posted on like, remember
well,
when everyone.
That's fuckboy behavior.
But remember when everyone had like the digital cameras?
Yes, of course.
And like we
put it on their MySpace.
Yeah, and like you would just like take a digital camera, take like 300 photos and just post it on Facebook. Like
yes,
no edits.
An album?
An album of like 300 photos and like no edits, no nothing. Just like an unhinged night out at a bar. 300 photos of just an unhinged night. Like you didn't know what was going on.
Honestly, cracks, Gen feet. Z will never know. Like we did the original photo dump. Before they did their fucking
that was
photo dump.
Insane photo dumps.
Their photo dumps are like aesthetically pleasing and like thought out, but our photo dumps were like everything on that camera roll made it to the album.
It was like unload the SD card.
Yes.
Unload the whole, like, it was like upload, select all, upload everything.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Let it go. Oh my God. Oh, I love that. I miss that. I miss Facebook days.
Yeah.
And like statuses, Facebook statuses, which. That's embarrassing. I can never look back at mine.
I look back at them recently. I was like...
Hey, honestly, I feel like you would probably have some cringy good ones.
No, it was the most like... I was like... My first girlfriend, I was like... I was with my best friend. We were looking back at like old... like I used to have a Tumblr. And on my Tumblr...
Yes, love Tumblr.
It would post... My Instagram would automatically post my Tumblr. Mm. But I moved everything on my Instagram, so I was going through my old Tumblr, which I deleted now, by the way.
Can't find it.
Can't find it. But I was going through all my old IG posts that made it. And I'm like looking at these old posts with like my first girlfriend. I was like, it is so insane like how much social media has changed. Like, I would just post pictures of her at breakfast, smiling with pancakes and waffles or stuff. She's like... Hashtag, she made me do it. Hashtag, no, she didn't. Hashtag, I love this swag. Girl so much. Hashtag, swag. Hashtag, girlfriends of Instagram. Like, literally. Like,
girlfriends of Instagram.
With, like, the heaviest filter. I was like,
yes,
oh,
yes, the early Instagram days were the best.
It was, like.
It was so bad.
In the moment, it was, like, so pure, though.
So pure.
Because it was, like, I just love this moment so much.
Everything
I'm going to post
so
it. I didn't care about
now.
Likes.
Yeah, you didn't care about likes. It was just,
followers,
you want to post it.
I just want to post it and show everyone I love this girl so much. Aww. Nowadays, no one would ever do this.
No. It's like, no, it's like a soft launch.
Yeah.
If you're like, you know, if you like someone. There's
need
this
a
little,
hand on a steering wheel.
Right, exactly.
Whatever.
A hand on the thigh. Yeah. Or like you see a man, like, I don't know, something about like, it's kind of like me and my friend were talking about, like, there's something so hot about a man driving. Like, what is it? Like, just like one hand on the wheel. I'm like, just wet. Like,
really?
It just, I don't know why.
Mine is
what
like,
is it?
Mine is like book reading.
Book you all, you like nerds.
I like, oh my
God. I was
going
to say, what is your type? Because I feel like you would love like nerds, like someone who's like a Harry Potter fan.
Like,
or
yeah,
Star Wars.
Any nerd, anything that just like, you're just so geeked over, like geeked out over. Like my last ex would like, she was like a big reader. Like she could read a book in like a day. Like she was a beast at reading.
Damn.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just love like coming home and like she'd just be curled up with a book and she'd be so excited to tell me about this book. I can't read for shit.
I don't like to read either. Like, I'm not like, I have ADHD.
Yeah, like I
can't
get past like.
I like audiobooks.
I can't even get through an audiobook. Like it's horrendous. Like it's horrendous. My attention span is abysmal at this point.
Yeah, no, mine's pretty.
Yeah. But I love like.
When other people read.
Yeah, when other people read to me or like want to tell me what they read and they're so excited and they're using these words with so many syllables and stuff. I remember she taught me this word that was like, it was like, oh, what was it? It started with like an S. And it was like when someone's like really smug or something like that. I can't remember.
Smug?
I wasn't smug, but it was something else. And I remember being like, what is that word? And like she was so excited. She was so excited to tell me about this word. And I was like, I'm gonna use that word.
That is actually so romantic.
It was so cute. And it was like, you know, if I'd ever be like watching anime or something and I would geek out over it, and she would be so excited because I'd be so geeked out about it.
Yeah.
And like I think that's like, I don't know, that was like a beautiful thing about a relationship. It's like we were both so excited to like that the other person was so excited about something. Like I would geek out and be like, oh my gosh, you wouldn't be what happened on Demon Slayer, like Tanjiro. He unlocked the fire breathing and he had a thing and it turned red and his blade turned red and I started reading the manga and he did this and Muzan. And she's like, watch, she's like,
oh,
She's like, I don't know what you're saying, but this is adorable. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel when my boyfriend talks about sports. Like, I don't understand sports, but then I'll let him talk. And afterwards, he's like, thank you for letting me just ramble about sports. But that's something
that guys don't get is like liking sports is nerdy.
It is nerdy.
It is. It's analytical and it's nerdy.
He's really nerdy about music and sports. Like, it's not just like, oh, good game. It was like, no, like this little thing did this. And in order, like this song lyric really meant this. He flipped this word and made it make. I'm just like, whoa. But
yeah.
It's hot. I'm always fine. Keep going.
Yeah. Because I was like, I played sports and I was also a nerd. And I remember people like, oh, you're a nerd. You're into that stuff. I'm like, you play sports. You're into like 2K and you like look up stats. And like you're a nerd. That's nerdy shit. It's the same thing I do. Just a different medium.
Yeah, exactly. It's just more socially acceptable.
Yeah, amongst like the sports culture, but it's like it's nerdy shit. It's like there's no difference to me of like you're like a massive like Lakers fan and someone being like a massive Swiftie. It's like
it's
the same shit. It's the same way you get up and you're like oh let's go AD, let's go LeBron. The same way I do that. The same way. People like I'm in sort of let's go maroon, cool like, summer breeze.
It's so true. Like it is really nerdy. But wait, so we have 5 minutes, but I want to answer some questions.
Oh, we only have 5 minutes. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. Like everything was amazing. Like it was all great. It like just happened so quickly. But however, I want to go over like just some questions that people sent over, just like from they want from like a male's perspective. Yeah.
Let's hit it.
Let me see.
I'm so sorry I talk so much.
Don't apologize. This is why I brought you here, because I was like, he's going to talk and I want to hear everything he has to say. So that's why, and we all want to hear everything you have to say. So that's why lights, camera, action.
Let's do it.
The first one is, why do you guys stop acting affectionate like they used to in the honeymoon phase?
Ooh, I think it's just like, I think a lot of people get comfortable. I think once they feel comfortable and they feel like they got it locked down, it's like that's when it starts fading away.
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you?
I think, yeah. In my last, that was one thing I learned in my last relationship is like, you know, there was like a middle point after, you know, we moved in and, you know, that year. And there's not every moment is going to be honeymoony and lovey-dovey, but it was like the effort stopped being put in. The same effort I put into the dates and, you know, I would just surprise her with flowers. Like that effort went away and it's like, from both sides too, it's like you have to, the relationships that last longest is when you continue to put that effort in and realize that love isn't just like
the honeymoon phase.
It's not just the honeymoon phase and you locked in, you're done. It's like, no, you got to work at it. You got to love loving each other.
Yeah. And keep dating and keep finding things to do together and just, you know, yeah.
Yeah. But I think a lot of guys just, once they feel like they locked it down, they get comfortable. They're like, all right, I'm good. I don't got to try anymore. So
yeah. Yeah. That's a good answer. Next one is, how do you know when a guy is feeling you at the bar and club?
Ooh.
So in your makeout session days, when you made out with everyone at the bar, how did you know like someone was feeling or like, how did you let them know like you were feeling it?
I feel like it's just like I was always like, if I get two look backs, it's like you could just tell by the eyes.
Yeah, it's the eye contact.
Like, you can just tell if you make eye contact once and they start walking away and then they give you like the. All right, I'm gonna be right over.
Yeah. My thing was like, I would do a look, and if we locked eyes, like I'm gonna say something like, "Oh, I like your shirt," you know, or, like I like your shoes, and it's like just a compliment.
Yeah.
To let them know, and usually sometimes it would, you know, same thing too. It's like I feel like that was our way to like let them know that, you know, we locked eyes. Hey, yeah. I like you.
And it was also like it's like the eyes, and like I remember I could always tell from like how long the handshake is. If like the hand, if like, they hold
Ooh,
hands, if, like,
yeah.
If it extends a certain amount of time, I'm like, okay, like we're into down. Each other, like we're,
game time. let's see. So it's like, what do men think about during sex with their girlfriend?
What do men think about during sex? It depends on what the ass. What the task is. It's like if you're trying to last longer, it's like a lot of guys have like. Inside info have like things that they think about to like prevent them from
like what, like what is your going? Like one thing to make sure you don't come quick.
My one thing. I remember it was like, what was it, for the longest time it was like off rip I want to say like owls is big for me because I hate owls like scare the shit. I have a phobia of owls, so like
really?
That was always like my thing. Like
is there like a lot of owls in Canada?
No, I don't know what happened to me as a kid. I feel like it's like a repressed memory. I don't know. My mom won't tell me like what happened with me and an owl. I just have a terrible phobia of owls. So usually for me personally, it's like owls. Some people, it might be like dirty diapers. I don't know. Like
Yeah.
Transformers. Because it's like you want to pick something that like you're just going to feel terrible if you do. Like,
right.
Like, it's like you think about dirty diapers and you still go, you're like, oh, no. Like.
You're right. So I guess the answer is they're just trying not to come quick. So they're trying to make sure
please don't enter the mind of a guy like what's going on during intimacy. Like do not, because they're trying everything in their power not to finish.
That's so true. Because I feel like there is that stigma. It's like you don't want to be the guy that comes quick, you know? But sometimes I just want them to come quick.
Yeah, I guess.
Sometimes there's like moments where like I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like I came.
Like I've used just, like.
Not all the time.
When I was younger, my first girlfriend, we like waited for like a month. And then like there was a lot of, I was like, oh, if the sex isn't good, there's a lot of pressure. So I remember using like numbing spray that like my like, big what? Homie was like, yo, you gotta use this numbing spray. Don't worry. I'm like, all right, thanks. Appreciate you hooking me up, bro. And then I remember like using it and like I couldn't feel anything. So I just kept on. And she was like, I remember like. Afterwards, like years later, I told her that story and she was like, yeah, I remember that. Like, I remember I was like, this is going on for a while. Wow.
Oh my God. Like, you know? You're like, what? But Jesus, so, like, I've never heard of this numbing spray before.
Oh, there's like numbing sprays, there's creams, there's.
I didn't realize guys there was. Take.
Yeah, there's Blue Chew. There's,
holy shit.
I don't use any of that stuff anymore because, you know.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay, one last one. I want to get a. I was like, do you even try to make us come? Oh my God, we'll ignore that. It's like, yes.
I try so hard.
You try so hard, okay?
I'd be asking questions and taking notes.
Exactly. Like, you let me know.
Yeah.
How do you know she's the one?
Ooh, how do you know she's the one?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of times, like, guys kind of give mixed signals and people, you know, we're always, like, confused if he likes us or not. In my opinion, I think you know when you know. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think you know when you know. I don't know. It's hard because, like, of the person that I am, I don't know how other guys operate because I'm so, like.
You will know if you like. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all like you. I will let you know. Like, I have literally, like, you know, 3 days down the line. Like, I remember when my ex, it was like, I don't know, 3 weeks, like a month and a half or something that happened. We were, like, grabbing coffee. And, like, she was like, we got our coffee sitting down mid-sip. I'm like, yeah, I'm good here. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm good. Like this, you and me.
Yeah, like I like you.
Let's lock this down.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm just, she's like, what? I'm like, I know you already know that, but I just want verbal confirmation from me.
Yeah.
I love you. I don't want to be with anyone else.
I'm good. I love you pretty quick. Oh yeah, duh.
Yeah.
That's not the perfect match.
Yeah, duh.
But it's okay. Yeah. It's a cancer thing.
But you know what was the cutest thing ever?
Yeah.
Can I just tell this story?
Yeah.
So, like, I remember this was the cutest. Like, I love the first time, like, saying I love you the first time.
Mm.
Like, I love it. It might happen fast sometimes. It might, like, take a while. But, like, it's always the cutest moment whenever someone falls in love. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's the best.
My friends have told me, like, they fall in love. They say, I love you. I'm so happy for them because it's the best fucking feeling in the entire world. And I remember, like, we used to work together. Like, we were coworkers. And so I was a bouncer, she was a server, and then eventually she got a job as like the ticket girl. Like she would get the tickets at the front so that we can leave and go home together.
Mm.
So I remember we were going home one night, it was like 3 o'clock, we were watching Stranger Things, we would get food, we were in bed, and I remember I was like, she was in bed, we're watching Stranger Things, had the food, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and she just goes, I love you. And I'm like, what'd you just say? And I'm like, she's like, I love you. And I'm like, I love you too, you know? And then it was like the next day we got coffee, and I was like, I'm good here. I'm fine, like I don't wanna see anyone else. You're the one, that's it, we're good. So it's like, for me, it's like, you know. Like
you know when you know.
When you know, you just know, you know. And obviously, she wasn't the one, but.
For the moment, she was.
And she's a very important part of my life and my growth as an individual, so.
Yeah.
I just had to share that story, I don't know.
No, I love really that. Cute. No, I love a good love story. We love love on here. And so, but thank you. Thank you for sharing and spreading love, you know?
I just love love.
You just love love.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. Hey, man.
I love you.
I love you, bro.
I love the love. But yeah, well, I could keep talking to you for hours because you're so much fun to talk to.
Oh, thank you.
You have like such an amazing heart. And I'm just so glad that, you cried on The Perfect Match. And, but really, I know that sounds like silly, but you know, I think at the end of the day, you're spreading such a positive message. And so I hope, and I believe you will continue. And I see big things for you. Like you're doing amazing things with the podcast. Like I was binge listening and watching a couple of your episodes and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you're such a natural. So please keep going and being you and staying yourself. And, you know, men, keep crying out there. And but anyways, where can people find you?
First and foremost, I want to say thank you so much for the kind words. And you're an amazing host. Like this is like such a warm and comfortable space. And like, and I just know that because like I feel like I've known you forever. At this point. I feel like when's the last time you hung out? I'm like, oh, never.
You're like I just met you.
So that that's a testament to just how comforting and safe and warm your energy is and everything that you built. Love it. And
thank you.
Yeah, you're just an amazing human being. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm gonna cry.
But yeah, everyone could just find me on all platforms on Don't Call Dom. I'm in a band called Don't Call as well. You can find us on Spotify. I have a podcast, Dom Meets World, releases every Wednesday. I also just started my own collection called Crybaby with Peace Collective that you can also find on any of my socials. And yeah, I believe we have the links down below
if you need it. If you missed it.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, thank you. Love you. Spread the love. Love y'all. And keep crying. Ooh, that was so good.
Oh, thank you so much. Sorry I talked so much. I feel like
I gave you the space to talk. Like I wanted to hear, you know, everything, your mind, your stories, everything. So thank you. I'm a complete advocate for you. Broke Girl Therapy.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.